Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. And Aaron, Tuck, I'm pumped. We got a fantastic guest that's coming on with us. Aaron, go ahead and introduce this man. He's awesome. We've had him here before. He even visited us, okay? Yeah. And we had a great weekend with them, but inform our audience.
George Witten. He's a really smart guy. Really in touch with what is going on in the world. He's got worthynews.com.
Love that.
Yeah, it's great. I'm looking at thing right here, and it says the first one listed here is UN body claims end of humanity near due to climate change. And so, I mean, really like spot on stuff. I mean, your whole joke with that article right there,
yeah.
Just the headline that they're talking about. But George Witten is great. His wife, ready for this one?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Bat Rivka.
Oh, say that fast like three times.
I did earlier. So I'm going to waste your time. Now.
She's anyway. A wonderful singer. I love listening to her music. It's just fantastic. And these guys travel a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, so they get a touch of what's going on.
Yeah.
George, are you there with us, sir?
Nice to have you. Hey, thanks, guys. You know, I got to tell you, guys are like, do you guys like barbecue out there in Oregon?
Yeah.
I mean, because you got like the biggest fire the south of you, and like Antifa's trying to burn Portland to the north of you. You guys like it barbecuing over there.
they already did.
I mean, I'm telling you, you guys got more news coming out of you. You know, you guys got to, you know, become part of Idaho soon.
Greater Idaho.
Greater Idaho.
Greater Idaho. That's it. Yes, I'm telling
that's
you.
A different thing.
Well, you know, when we went to Oregon, I actually, you know, infiltrated Antifa, and most people don't realize how demonic it is because they're infiltrated by Satanists. I mean, many of the people that I was talking to were wearing pentagram earrings and pentagram shirts, and, you know, where the spirit of rebellion is the spirit of witchcraft.
Yep.
You know, since I do Worthy News, I had to actually go and see for myself everything that was happening. So, you know, that's how I got to way out there to you guys in Oregon. You know, my wife and I have been, I don't want to say stuck in America. I've been redeployed to America. I've been redeployed, and it's not necessarily of my own will, because my heart is for Israel. My heart is to be there. My wife was born in Israel.
Uh-huh.
For those that don't know, my wife, she's actually native Israeli. Her great-great-grandfather actually helped build Israel before anyone even started going to Israel.
Wow.
I mean, he set up an orange grove in Israel, right, in an area called Petah Tikva.
Huh.
And Petah Tikva is just outside of Tel Aviv. And ready for this? The family joke is, you know, when Ben-Gurion was a teenager, now this is the first prime minister of Israel, when he was a teenager, he worked on this orange grove. But he was a terrible worker because he was always sitting under the trees reading books. he didn't like picking oranges. And you can see what happens when you read books. You become prime ministers, you know?
Yes.
And then also the fourth prime minister of Israel, Levi Eshkol, worked on his orange grove. There's actually streets named after him. So,
wow.
You know, look, our heart is to be in Israel. Right now, we're kind of redeployed to the States. Everything that people are seeing now, this is what we were seeing firsthand in Israel. You know, for those of us that are really sharing the good news, you know, we have interesting altercations that we don't like publicize or anything. But, you know, look, we fight the good fight.
Uh-huh.
And we're sharing the good news of the gospel. And when you do that, look, you're going to face opposition.
Yeah.
And right now, you guys just had this crazy, you know, rally up there. And you had Antifa and – I mean, yeah, like a whole weekend of interesting events happened in Portland. So I got to tell you, you know, the Lord, I think, is getting ready to do something there. I know that this is hard to understand, but you know, I really believe a true move of God happens to those that people don't think can come into the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you go back, and I wasn't even born, but I'm going back to the Jesus move in 1967. Okay. And I talked to a lot of these guys that actually started the movement. I'm actually close friends with, you know, a pastor, John Higgins, who actually was right next to Chuck Smith when they went into the streets of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the prophetic calendar, that happened on June 6, 1967, the day that Israel recaptured Jerusalem. I'm sorry, June 7th.
Yes.
1967. When they recaptured Jerusalem, they were on the streets of, and the intersection was Ashbury and Haight. And Ashbury and Haight, for those that don't know, that's the center of, you know, the hippie movement. That was the center of the Age of Aquarius movement. That was a, you know, a countercultural thing. And those
so
in the
Chuck,
body probably,
right,
oh man, he probably lived there. Come on now.
Yeah.
I live next door.
You're next door. But if you look back at that time, if you were a believer at that time, you probably thought to these yourself, these hippies are unredeemable. You know, these hippies, you know, how can God, you know, work through these, you know, drugs, you know, their minds are so corrupted by drugs and so corrupted by everything. Yet God used the people that people didn't think that could be used.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that, see, in Israel, we actually ran into a guy that was part of a terrorist cell. And his cell group was actually the one that that targeted the minister. They actually killed the minister of tourism way back in like 2002, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
He gets radically saved. He goes into the areas that we can't go into. I mean, we you know, because my wife is Israeli, right? So she can't go into Area C. You know, there are certain areas that Israelis aren't allowed to go into, even though they're part of, you know, the land of Israel. She can't go, but this guy gets radically saved. You know, you get someone that's ready to die for Allah, come into the kingdom. They're ready to die for the King of Kings, and they're the ones delivering Bibles into the heart of, you know, in the heart of, you know, Islam. And so I really believe that you guys, if you guys keep praying and keep really seeing, I really believe that these Antifa guys, when they come to faith, who's going to stop them from preaching the word? I mean, they so I'm really looking, you know, where it's darkest, I think, you know, we get ready to have a breakthrough, and I'm really praying for you guys to, you know, keep praying for these guys. You know, very often we see this stuff on TV and we see this, and it wants, the enemy wants to sow a root of hatred in us, and it wants to sow, you know, how could this be happening, and really this vengeful type atmosphere. Whereas we go ahead and realize, hey, look, God sent his son to redeem them.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pray them into the kingdom. And look, they need more prayer than anyone else does. their hearts are so hardened.
You know, George.
George,
you're giving me something that actually starts turning the spirit around to a more positive or hopeful side. Because like you said, if we're constantly being bombarded with everything that's negative, which everything has been very negative, but if we actually start looking at our purpose, which is to bring people to the kingdom, that starts changing the picture just a little bit. And it actually gives us empowerment, knowing that we are servants of Yahweh, knowing that we have a calling, knowing that we're called out to do something great. And that turns that picture around, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we have to understand that, okay, so my end times view, right, is not centered on, like, the mark of the beast. My end times view is, hey, are we ready for the bride to come home? I mean, are we ready for the bridegroom to come home? Are we becoming the bride? When people look at us, do they say to that guy was with Yeshua? I know this guy. You know, it's like James and John. They were like, these men are unlearned men. But they knew that he had been with Yeshua. I mean, that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that often, you know, when you talk about the last days, you know, a lot of people get focused on who the Antichrist is. You know what I mean? Forget who the Antichrist is. Know who the Messiah is. You know?
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of the body that's centered on trying to escape this world instead of centered on trying to redeem this world. You know, and you know, we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know, Hebrews, here, I'm going to get my Bible out. You better watch out, people. I'm getting my Bible out. You know, the thing is, you know, I think about these last days, and I think we have to realize what COVID initially did. And what I think, see, when I was a little kid, right, and I got in trouble, I didn't get spanked. I got sent to my room.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got sent to my room, I didn't have no TV. I didn't have no radio. I got, my parents gave me a book. And they said, go read a book. You know, I'm like, I don't want to read no book.
Yeah.
And I
you went and read a book. So you're going to be a prime minister now?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm smart enough to realize that that is not my calling. I mean, the Lord has called me to be a king and a priest outside of this world, you know. We have a kingdom coming. I really, you know. But the point is that here it is that we're called to hear the voice of God. That's kind of what COVID did. You say, look, take a time out. I need you to hear my voice. Hmm. And, you know, when it talks about hearing the voice of God, right, I'm in Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, once more, indicates the removal of things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, right? Now ready? Uh-huh. Let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is consuming fire. It talks about that everything in this world is going to get shaken. I mean, we're getting right. We're seeing the pruning. We're seeing the shaking. We're seeing, you know, I call the churches that had hireling pastors, you know, pastors that are there for a paycheck. I see those churches going away. I see the move. Everything that is not of the kingdom is going to get radically shaken. But that which is of the kingdom cannot be shaken. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a kingdom come. All we are is pilgrims in this world. I mean, that's all we are. And we're called to preach a good news. You know, look, the king is coming. The king is coming. We got work to do. You know, and in so much of what's happening now, if you don't have the right mindset, then you can miss what God is trying to say.
Yeah.
I really believe that we're in this day and hour where the children of Israel, they were fearful of actually having an intimate relationship with the King of Kings, right? And they said, Moses, we know that you hear from God. You go up to the mountain, you talk to God, and then you tell us what God says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're in this day and this age where, you know, people are like running to every prophet and what is God saying? My goodness, what God is trying to say is to you. It's to me. He's trying to speak to each one of us. And my concern is, as we enter into Elul, so we just entered into Elul on Sunday night. So you guys had the crazy shaking up there in Oregon. You had to, you know, everything that was happening in Oregon was on Elul. It was the beginning of the days of repentance. You know, and we're going in the 40 days going into Yom Kippur. And, you know, we're getting ready. We're about 28 days now away from basically the Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets.
Yes.
But these days of shaking, if God set the world in a timeout with COVID and said, I'm putting you in timeouts so that you can hear from me, and we don't hear, then what does the Bible talk about in the Torah? It talks about, look, they didn't receive discipline the first time. I'm going to do it seven times worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you know, I don't look at it as judgment. You know, people tend to look at these things as judgment. I look at these things as discipline. You know, God is trying to say to us, look, I need you to be separated. I need you to understand what's happening. I need you to realize what I'm trying to do right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to destroy this world. I'm trying to redeem this world. And I got to keep shaking. I got to keep waking people up. And, you know, the wake-up call that God is trying to do right now is so surreal. I mean, right now you cannot talk about the events happening today, not open to the Bible and say, this is what the Bible talked about the last days.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, everything that's happening, it's a wake-up call. And,
you know,
and,
hey, George.
If there was ever a time. Yeah, go ahead.
Man, I just got to tell you, the picture that you just gave me was of Yahweh yelling at us, saying, hello, man, pay attention, what's up, you know, I'm the real God, I'm the real Elohim. You know, we were just reading Devarim 13, verses 1 and 2, where we were told to put those prophets away, that led us to a small g God, which was basically, no, we're supposed to kill that idea because there is no small g's. There's only one big G, and he's Yahweh, Elohim, and he's not little, and he wants our full attention. And so, man, I'm grabbing this picture from you just really loud and clear. And I want to thank you for that. I mean, we do get into a mindset that sends us down the wrong track of worshiping something that's not of God. Fear. We worship government. We worship, you know, perceptions. We worship ideologies. But we fail in the area of saying, hey, I'm following you and you alone. Lead me, you know?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, man.
Well, that's where we are, right?
Yeah.
So now the question is, how to respond to the next shaking? See, I don't think that it's done yet. I think that we're getting ready to see another lockdown. I think they almost foretell what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, right now, you know, Israel, one of the most vaccinated countries in the world, they got an outbreak going on right now. The CDC just made them level 4. You can't. Yeah. It's the strongest advisory not to travel to Israel, right?
Yep.
And now they're talking about, hey, we need to go do lockdowns. Israel almost tells us what the rest of the world's going to do. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you were on a lockdown again and you can't go anywhere, what is God actually trying to do? I try not to look at what the world is trying to do. I realize God uses kings and the authorities to accomplish what His will is.
Yeah.
What is His will? And I really believe if we understood, you know, and got focused on what He was trying to do, you know, we wouldn't get so worried about what the enemy is doing. I mean, His kingdom isn't being shaken. We're not. If people are nervous and in fear, they haven't understood the love of God. Because the love of God, it talks about in First John, casts out all fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you fall in love with the Lord and fall in love with the Savior and fall in love with the King of Kings and you're walking in that love, you've realized the end of the book says we already won.
Yeah.
That you didn't think that these things. He says these things must happen. And then the end will come. You know, you hear about wars and rumors. Right now in Israel, I mean, we're probably literally within days of having a major war in Israel.
Yep.
I don't want to get – well, how much time do we have? Because last we started down this road, we ran out of time.
No. Hey, George, we are doing pretty good. So before the next break,
okay.
You have about, seven minutes. And then you're going to come back with us after
seven
the break.
7 minutes.
Well, okay. you were still going to come back with us after the break for another 25 minutes, so you can gauge yourself, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can gauge myself. My goodness, I got like a sermonette. I mean, you know, I got about 10 hours of material inside of me trying to get out, and I got 55 minutes or 45 minutes, something like that. Man,
yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about what's happening in Israel, because right now the dynamics are being set up for a major confrontation. So today, the CIA chief just went to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I found interesting about that, right, is why did the CIA chief go?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is Central Intelligence. This is not Department of Defense. This is like a – it's like a different – it's a, you know what I mean? If you start thinking through the scenario here, the CIA goes over there. Now, this director goes over there, and in the last 2 weeks – I'll tell you the different events that have happened. You had a tanker that was attacked by Iranian drones, and it
mm-hmm.
was an Israeli – you know, and then you had a few days later five tankers all going amok. One tanker supposedly had Iranians board the tanker, try to seize the tanker. And that's what was happening in the Persian Gulf. At the same time, Iran opened up a new port that's outside of the Strait of Hormuz. And they were making a big deal about this, so they were going to bypass. Today, there was a ship off the coast of Syria whose name was Wisdom. And the irony is Wisdom was shot down, or Wisdom had caught on fire.
Wow.
The Iranian, hey, that happened just today. It was very interesting. I didn't put it on Worthy News yet, so you're not going to be able to find it yet.
Okay.
But anyway, the thing is, that there's this battlefield going on with Iran. Now, at the same time, for like 3 weeks, they've had a shortage of electricity and shortage of water. So much so that there were men protesting in the streets yelling death to the dictator. Now, I set up a news site. I set up a news site called worthy.watch. It's not worthywatch.com. It's just worthy.watch. And what I do is I actually see all of these videos all over the web. I mean, I post up the stuff that gets me banned from Facebook. Because, you know, look, I've been banned from Facebook so many times and censored so many times that I actually deleted my 12,000 follower account. Wow. And then it was affecting my witness. It was affecting how I was sharing with people. Because I was posting this stuff on my personal, you know, personal thing. Because my personal wasn't getting affected so much. Once you get to like over like 5,000 followers or something, I think it sets off an algorithm. Like no one can see your stuff. you influence too many people.
Yeah.
Well, so I just recently I just started a new Facebook page. It's facebook.com/worthybrief. They wouldn't let me have Worthy News, but it's Worthy Brief. And anyway, these are the videos that I post up that get banned from YouTube, that get banned from everywhere. So on Worthy Watch, right, I posted up these videos of the protests happening in Iran. They're chanting death to the dictator, death. There's a whole uprising in Iran, and they just elected a leader. You know, they just installed a new president who is like one of the most murderous, you know, presidents. I mean, he's like he's a slaughterer.
Yeah.
And so he's just been you don't think that there are believers. I mean, Iran's having one of the biggest revivals. Most people don't realize how big the revival is happening in Iran. The underground church there, or the underground congregations there, went from 100,000 believers in 1994, and now they say there's over 3 million believers in Iran.
Wow.
Now, they're having an explosion of the gospel. Their core is being shaken. Now, at the same time that this is happening in Iran, we have now a major situation happening with Hezbollah in Lebanon. Yep. They just fired rockets for the first time since 2006. Oh. Or I'll say this. This is the first time they claimed to have – they actually claimed – there's been rockets fired from Lebanon, but Hezbollah has never claimed it. Mm-hmm. This is the first time they've actually claimed it. And this is the first time since 2006. Now they go ahead and they fired rockets last Friday. And, you know, Israel responded with artillery fire, and it was, a very interesting dynamic. And yesterday, we just posted this on Worthy News yesterday, the Lebanese Christian leadership is calling for the Lebanese army to actually fight against Hezbollah. You know, we need to deal with Hezbollah, you know. So here you have Lebanon in civil war, you have Iran in civil war. Now, Benny Gantz said last week that we're 10 weeks – Iran is 10 weeks away from a nuclear – or from nuclear-grade material.
Uh-huh.
So he's just giving us the timeline, 10 weeks.
Wow.
Now you have the CIA director going. Now, why is the CIA director – this is the question that – so when I look at the news, I don't look at – I don't just read it straight. I mean I present what I see as facts.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking in my brain behind the scenes, okay, what is actually happening here? And you actually have this CIA director over there. Now, he's the guy in charge of intelligence. He's the guy that when they go ahead and have underground moves, you know, like, you know, when you think of Mossad, Mossad's not fighting the war scene that everyone sees. They're fighting the covert war that no one really sees.
Hang on tight. CIA doing? Hang on tight, George. We're right back after the break, so hang on. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys, and we got another wise guy with us. You know,
Wiser.
Wiser. Come on now. Stop giving credit, guys. I'm not wise yet. Look, I'm not 50 yet. I'm 40 days. I'm 50. I told my wife I'm really terrified about being 50 because I'll have to grow up. Oh my goodness!
This is great. You know, for those that don't know, George and his wife not only report the news, sing about the news, but they travel and they get to feel the country. They get to feel what's going on, which is why I really like talking with George.
Hey, so,
even though he's not 50 yet.
Roland, what is his life?
Thank you. Bob Rivka. Bob Rivka. Hey, listen, Bob Rivka.
Yeah.
Rivka.
Hey, listen, she's got a song, right? It's really, really powerful. Look her up, right? She's got a song called Heal Our Land.
Oh.
It's in English. Most of our songs are in Hebrew. This one's actually in English, and it's really a call for revival. I mean, here we are. We're in this day, you know, where God is saying to his people, if my people, he's talking to us. He said, if my people will humble themselves, what's that? Repent, you know, and turn and seek my face. And guess what? Then I'll heal the land, you know. But it starts with us. And right now, I really believe that God is at work shaking. You know, one of the things I really cover, right, are archaeological discoveries, because archaeological discoveries are kind of what how God uses to tell us where we are. Okay, I'll take you back. 1947. Here we are. 1947. Right, the day that the UN vote is taking place is the day that they buy the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Isaiah scroll. God was basically telling us, okay, this is where we are. This is the timestamp. Okay. You go to the discovery when they went up to Masada. Now, Masada is only like 20 minutes from where I live. And up there, they go to discover. Now, the son of the man that bought the Dead Sea Scrolls, his son, right, is the one that is doing the archaeological dig.
Yeah.
He discovers the scroll and it's Ezekiel 37. It talks about the dead bones, and they should come alive again. So he's marking that from that point, right? Just 3 to 8 years later, we have the beginning of the quote unquote the messianic movement. You know, this move of God that was taking place. You know, we would call it the Jesus movement, and it just depends on where you are. But this move was taking place. It was connected to when Israel was retaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just discover, right, a thing where all of a sudden the earthquake. We have archaeological discovery that just took place. It's on our website. Talks about Amos 8:8, right? And it talks about this great earthquake. Now, here's the thing, right? Remember I was talking about shaking. What God is doing, he's shaking, right?
Yeah.
He gives us an archaeological discovery of when we just had an earthquake, right?
Yep.
That same chapter, now the quote that they're quoting from is Amos 8:8. It says, "Shall the land not tremble for this? And everyone who mourns who dwells in it," right? Talks about the shaking. Then this is the earthquake. Now, you continue reading that passage. This is where we are. "Behold, the days are coming." This is verse 11. "Says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander to from sea to sea, from north to the east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." God is telling us right now that we need to hear. We need to actually get to a place where we hear. Are we getting ready to have another, you know, a spiritual earthquake?
Yeah.
And I think that people don't realize, you know, what God's been trying to say to us for some time now. We're at this day and age where everyone wants to not do the work. And what I mean not do the work is, you know, look, there comes a point where you realize, you know, you need to spend the time in prayer. You need to spend time in the Word. You need to separate yourself. You need to turn off everything and just hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're entering that time again where God's getting ready to put us all in time out again. He's, look, you didn't listen to me the first time. I'm getting ready to turn the lights off. You know, I'm getting ready to do something so different. Because I want you to realize your responsibility in these last days. Look, we're alive for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Mordecai gives this word to Esther, "You're alive for such a time as this," then he says to her, "Look, if you don't rise up, don't worry, I'll send someone to replace you." If we don't take our responsibility seriously now and take our responsibility to go forward and to proclaim the word and to proclaim that the Son is coming, that the kingdom is coming, that we're getting ready to redeem, then don't worry, he'll replace you. I mean, that's a
staggering thought,
right?
Come on, man.
Well, look, I'm trying to encourage people, man, because you know what's happening, right? What, prophetically speaking, right? We're in the days of Lot, right? And so everyone thinks about the days of Lot, and they think, you know, yeah, we see all the moral depravity in the world. But I want you to understand the opposite side. Okay, think about this. Here was Lot. It says in Peter, right, that he was vexed daily by the sin that was happening around him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Lot had come to a place, if he had just saved 10 people, if he just been able to reach 10 people, Abraham negotiated down from 50 to 10.
Wow.
Right? If he had just touched 10 people, Sodom and Gomorrah wouldn't have been destroyed. Right? So what happened? God, or Lot, allowed society to silence him.
Wow.
He was standing at the gate. He was standing at the gate, and he was sitting there, and the angels came. What was he doing at the gate? He was sitting, oh, this world is so big. You know, he's, I can't believe how bad it is. Can't believe, you know. He didn't touch people anymore. He wasn't, he allowed society to silence. Right now, Facebook, big tech are trying to silence us. You know, you know, I've been blacklisted on everything, right? I don't care. They're not my God. You can go ahead and silence me all you want. The word of the Lord will go forth. All we got to do is proclaim and keep proclaiming. If we allow society to silence us, then we will actually become like Lot and allow society to overtake this world. You know, allow.
That's huge. That is huge, so, George. That's huge.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you got a revelation of something. Look, there's something that comes from a guy that's 49.
That is huge because I see people that are righteously vexed. We're all complaining about the terribleness around us, and we've been scared to speak. And what you just said is huge. Allowing society to silence us rather than allowing Yahweh to speak through us. What?
Amen.
That's amazing.
Well,
Thank you.
There are strange things that come out of this mouth. I don't know, not from me. but I will say this. God is getting ready to do something really special through us.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the body is acting on defense. We're kings and priests of the Most High God. He's called us a royal priest. He's called us a peculiar people.
Yeah.
We don't let society tell us what's going on. We tell society, "Hey, the king is coming."
Yeah,
look, you gotta realize that I'm not gonna stop shouting. They're gonna have to go ahead and throw me in jail before I stop. And even if I'm in jail, my ministry changes to a jail ministry.
There you go.
It doesn't matter. Look, it says in Hebrews, right? We're just pilgrims. You know, we're just pilgrims and sojourners. You know, when you read, when it talks about in Daniel, right, or it talks about the Lord said, you know, in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, and you go and you start realizing the connection between the Maccabees and the temple, the one thing that people forget, right, is it says in Daniel 11, those that understand and know their God shall take great action. So do great exploits. So go ahead and do things that, you know, I don't think that we haven't come to this place yet where I think we're so in tune with the Spirit where we're able to just speak the words of life into a world that's lost and dying. And I think as we get closer to the end, as the pressure comes upon us, the Lord's going to use this to refine us. The Lord's going to go ahead and create diamonds out of us, lumps of coal. And he's going to go ahead and do something that we haven't begun to see yet. As we see the darkness, I think that we as the diamonds, we're going to be radiating light all over. We're going to transition. We're going to go ahead and we're going to be the ones shining rainbows. You know, and the rainbows of promise and the rainbows of, hey, listen, let me just tell you how glorious the kingdom we got coming is. I mean, it's no longer, you know, a situation where, oh my goodness, it's the end of the world. No, right now we're in the birthing of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this birthing, no one likes birth. You know, you ask any woman, right? You ask anyone, I like to give birth, you know, for days. I love the pain. No, they're like, get this baby out of me.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're like, you know, well, what is it? What does the Lord say? He says, this gospel of the kingdom must go forth, right? And then the end will come.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a job. Like if you're tired of being in this world, then proclaim the kingdom.
Yeah.
Stop sitting on your own. Stop sitting in defense and realize, hey, you want to get the birth done. Proclaim the kingdom. Keep shouting the message, and it doesn't matter if people are offended. My goodness, people are so offended these days. I mean, we're like in this woke society. You know, it's like, what in the world's going on?
Yeah, right.
But it should be our wake-up call. We should be the ones awoken to where we are prophetically. I mean, this is where we are, and prophetically we're called. Our job hasn't changed. It doesn't matter who's president and who's not president. You know, God sets up kings, you know what I mean, to accomplish his will. And then you have to ask yourself, what is his will? And his will is to proclaim this message of the kingdom to the Jew first and also to the nations. And so, you know, that's what my wife and I do. We kind of just – right now we're here in America. My goodness, I don't know when I can go back home.
Yeah.
But, you know, sooner or later, you know, they're going to open up the doors. I mean, sooner or later, right? You would hope. Well, actually, hey, prophetically speaking, it'll happen. But anyway, go ahead.
Hey, so George,
I'm getting off on a tangent here.
Yeah, no. I'll tell you what, dude. I was just last night up here. The skies were amazingly gorgeous. I mean, the clouds and the sun setting, and it was just exquisite. I mean, red sky at night, sailor's delight was not even close. It was just amazing.
Well, of course not. You get they were like purple because of all the smoke in the air.
Oh, I know, but it was beautiful. But so I turned to my wife and I said, you know, Is Yahweh still here? I said, because why would he show himself so beautifully up here in the sky when the world is so dark? And you just answered that question for me, which was just amazing, because his kingdom is greater than this kingdom. And there is a promise. And he says, look up my way and I draweth nigh. And that to me is what this is all about. So tell us a little bit about what you and your wife are actually doing now, because I know you guys travel a lot. What's the scope? I mean, when you meet people, what is the temperament? What's the temperature? And how's it going out there?
Okay, so, you know, obviously, I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I mean, I'm a hey, look, you know, we're just in the birth of the kingdom. And I try to get people motivated. You know, I try to get people understanding, you know. There's a parable that Yeshua gave, and he talks about when at the time of the end, right? And he gave this parable of the talents. And right now what I'm seeing is a lot of people burying their talent instead of utilizing their talent, right? So I try to motivate people to realize where they are prophetically so they can fulfill their calling, okay? Now, in doing so, you would think that the enemy would hate that. Well, he does. It's okay. Yeah. You shake the gates of hell. You shake the gates of hell and say, let my people go. Would you believe it? The enemy doesn't like that. I mean, it is what it is. Now, we just had a meeting. We just had this revival meeting in Louisville last week. We had Black Lives Matter walk right in the front of the meeting. And one guy was armed with an AR. My son came running up to me and goes, they really armed that. You know, and, you know, I'm the type of person that, I won't get into that. But anyway, so here they are. They walk right in front of the stage, you know, and they're trying to cause all kinds of havoc and all kinds of, you know, craziness. The Lord used that to really waken people up. Hey, look, there's if you're at this much conflict, then, you know, it's darkest right before the dawn.
Yeah,
and I really believe that we need to be praying for the revival inside of these movements that are so anti-God. They don't realize they're anti-God. Well, maybe they do realize it. There's a lot of people that are caught up in, you know, the racial aspect and not understanding what God is trying to do. And God is using these people to really wake up the church and wake up the body of Messiah and to wake us up. To the reality of how close we are.
Yeah.
At the same time, we got to be praying for their salvation. We got to be praying for the revival. And when that happens, man, I'm telling you, we're getting ready to go into another wave of a move of God. I know that most people are so focused on the tares and so focused on everything that's wrong. They forget that the Lord told us, right, that the tares grow with the wheat.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think about how bad the tares are, then you got to think about how good the wheat is. And we're at a place now where we can harvest like we've never harvested. I mean, right now, what Hebrew Nations, on the radio, anyone around the world can hear this broadcast.
Yep.
And be touched, right? Yes. And it's the same way with the internet. The internet has allowed us to reach people like we've never had before. If we remember who we are, then we're going to go ahead and proclaim the kingdom. So look, my wife and I have been all over the country. I mean, since I've run Worthy News, right? I'm that's not bear false witness. Right? I mean, that's our commandment, right? That shall not lie.
Right.
Apparently, the media doesn't understand that.
No.
The mainstream media. No. They're anyway, I won't get into that. I won't say anything negative. But we have a calling, right? Our calling is to tell the truth. Now, how are you going to tell the truth if you really don't know what's happening? So, you know, last year when we started this journey, I went to Great Britain. I was there for the Brexit. I went to Great Britain for the Brexit to speak to people on the ground to understand what they were thinking before it took place. After that, you know, we were in America. I got redeployed to America. I won't get into the long story of that. But since then, you know, we were 1 week after the George Floyd event, and we were in Minneapolis, in the center of it, to see what was happening on the ground. We were in Seattle, in the middle of Chaz and Chad, seeing what was happening on the ground. We were in Portland, in the middle of the Antifa riots, to see what was happening on the ground. And from each one of those locations, not only were we there to see for ourselves, we were there also to pray and to have meetings and to do revival and capital steps. And we've done 25 states so far. We've been on capital steps all over the United States. We've been doing prayer events. We've been doing revival meetings. You know, if anyone wants to have us, you know, just send me an email, you know. But our hope is that the Lord uses this time to really say, hey, I'm trying to speak now. I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm doing. I'm trying to explain to you how vital your role is in these last days. And it's time to awaken out of your slumber. You know, make the last days of your life the best days of your life, you know. And it's time not to, you know, to think, hey, look, the past is the past. You can't change the past. But we can change from this day forward to go ahead and do what we've been called from the foundation of the world. We've been called for this time to proclaim a message. Our message doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
The message is the message of the kingdom. And the message of the kingdom is God's restoring all things, that he's getting ready to redeem this world. And we have a job. And our job is to go ahead and say, hey, let me tell you about real love.
Yeah, right.
This love that Yeshua came, that he paid every one of your sins. He was the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, and you can have forgiveness. And if people would just grab hold of that and just say, hey, I'm loved, then they can go ahead and love the unlovable, because God loved the unlovable in us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very distraught, you know, distressing to me when I look on the internet, and, you know, obviously I'm all over the place, and I see believers reacting in more hatred and more and like, you know, evil for evil. Whereas, you know, look, we're not called to be weak. I mean, you know, we're called to be strong. But Yeshua came, he said, I have come to proclaim grace and truth. And so we can proclaim the truth full of grace.
Yeah,
and
but George,
proclaim this message. Go ahead.
Isn't that, I mean, we talk about praying for those that are the agitators, but at the same time, even within the church, within the fellowships, we need to be praying for a cleansing of ourselves because of what you just said. People usually react in some way. Our human nature says, I'm going to respond in a negative way, or I'm going to respond by hiding my head in the sand and going, blah, 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 this is not happening, so I'm just going to create my own little world over here and be perfectly safe. Or I'm just going to go ahead and say, well, it's not really happening, this isn't happening. But what you're saying is that there's a strength found when we subscribe to the greater kingdom and saying, you're greater, let me walk in it. And then I don't have fear, and my eyes are opened, and I can sing, I can speak. Right? Isn't that what you're saying?
Amen. That's it, what I'm saying.
Okay, hey, so
you know,
George,
how do
people find you? How do they support you and all that?
All right, so we have a lot of websites. The daily devotion that I send out That's the daily devotion along with the news and along with Worthy Watch, right? And the Worthy Watch is all the videos that we post up that would get us banned from Facebook. I've actually hosted those videos on our own site. For example, there was yesterday a doctor that was on for 6 minutes that went off on a school board. That video was taken down off of YouTube immediately, but I made a hard copy, put it on our own server, and they can't take it off my server. You know, right. It's my server.
Yes.
You know, so we have all these videos. I mean, talking about the protests happening in France, the protests happening in Greece, the protests happening in Iran. I'm connected to so many independent journalists that we're going ahead and we're putting all these videos that are being sent to us and hosting them up. Now, you can sign up for the daily email. Go to my worthybrief.com. Worthybrief.com is our daily email. That's what we send out to 25,000 people a day. Worthynews.com is our news site. Look, news should simply be facts. That's what we try to do. We present the facts on Worthy News. Facts are not opinion. Supposedly, somehow or another, in this generation, opinion is news.
Yeah.
No, opinion is opinion.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
You know, if there's an 8.2 earthquake in Alaska, then it's an 8.2 earthquake in Alaska. We need to be praying that a tsunami doesn't hit. That's what we send out. You know, understand that's
yeah.
news. Okay. So that's news. Now, for quote unquote, like op-eds or things that are opinions of doctors or, you know, obviously this whole COVID thing is going interesting and a lot of people are asking a lot of questions. I post the stuff that gets canceled all over social media. Mm-hmm. And that's where you go to worthy.watch. Worthy.watch isn't necessarily facts. And I say point blank on there, these are op-eds, these are opinions by doctors, you know, these are medical studies. It's got so much information on that site. And that's kind of like an offshoot of Worthy News.
Sure.
So all those different websites, you know, all kind of work toward the same goal. And that's really, hey, wake up. You know, we have a kingdom coming, you know.
And George,
it's time to get moving. Go ahead.
You only got about a minute left. How do people fund you? Are there a donation sites on the Worthy?
Yeah. So if you go to worthyministries.com, Worthy Ministries is, you know, where they can go ahead and fund us. You know, send in a donation. I probably won't, you know, send an email back saying thank you. I'm so busy doing so much other stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, we appreciate it. We really, you know, we obviously can't do it without financial support. But I'm one of the opinion, right? All we have to do really focus on staying in His will. If we stay in His will, it's His bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just focused on staying in His will, and quite frankly, we're almost home. It's
yeah.
not time to think about, you know, a bigger house or a nicer car. It's not, hey, look, we need to press forward as fast as we can to finish the job that we're called to do. We're getting ready to leave. I've been cut off.
Yay,
I love you guys.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.
Be
hey,
well.
Have me on soon.
All
okay.
Right.
Take care.